This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.
A practical prayer is a prayer that works.
These discussions between Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence dive into the details of how it works and how to work it.
Reverend Bill is a New Thought minister and the author of Practical Prayer for Real Results.
Your new life begins with a new thought.
Carol Lawrence is on a spiritual quest, finding the New Thought teaching after decades on the pulpit in three different traditional denominations.
I've got some questions.
Together, they're exploring the philosophy and activities that come together from many of the world's religions to create the practical spirituality that is New Thought.
Welcome to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchione. How you doing?
I am doing well, everybody. And New Thought got a little boost in fame over the weekend, and we get to talk about that on March 9th, which was Saturday, March 9th. There was an opinion piece in the New York Times, and it name-dropped New Thought. I think, well, that's interesting. It's got New Thought. It's got like part of the history of New Thought, and some of the famous people from New Thought, including Phineas Parker Squimby, who is the guy who originally did the empirical work to say, hey, this practice works. And also Charles Fillmore, who is the founder of Unity, which is one of the larger New Thought organizations. But the piece is actually a slam on manifesting. And manifesting always goes in quotes, the technique of people manifesting stuff. And before that, it was self-help affirmations, which also put in quotes. And it was talking about the problems with that. And it was, on the one hand, wonderful to have New Thought described in the New York Times. And on the other hand, by conflating New Thought and manifesting, which is only a little tiny piece of it, and then slamming it, in my opinion, it's like talking about the problems with clergy sexual abuse and then going into a detailed history of the Catholic Church. It's like, okay. They're related, but that's not the same story. There's the Catholic Church is about a lot more than just that little piece of it, or Christianity in general. And you go over the life and times of Jesus, but I don't think that it's necessarily connected. So anyway, that's got me frothy.
Well, I figured when I read when it came through on my phone, so I don't have it word for word in my head as you do. But I read enough, and I read through the whole thing, and I thought, okay, all right, Bill's not going to be real happy with this. And I'm trying to think, well, how do I feel about it? And perhaps we were annoyed for different reasons. I don't know. I'll tell you what annoyed me about the article. It talked about manifesting the way so many people talk about it, in such a very superficial way. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, that makes me go to the roof, because I'm a teacher. You don't teach it's like going 2 inches deep and 10 miles wide. You're just spreading the stuff, but you're not giving details. You're not giving any understanding of it. And what does it exactly mean? And there's pieces that go into it. You know, I was really annoyed, I think, because I had heard the slam before. That's what mm-hmm. I call it. You know, the slam before. It's just like we are very mindless people, shallow people who say a bunch of affirmations and sit down and wait for things to happen. I was offended and insulted by that, but it's not a new thing, you know. So I thought, when we talked, I said, well, we'll get to straighten that out with whatever it is you want to straighten out on this thing. So
right.
Go for
and
it.
The thing that makes this new is not that it's new, in the same way that New Thought isn't new. New Thought is a practice and a technique and a creative process that's been in operation since there was thought. What makes this new is the New York Times giving voice to 2 inches deep and 10 miles wide, as you describe. And, you know, we're on episode number 144. We're getting to the wholesale level of episodes on the Practical Prayer podcast. This is 12 dozen that we've done so far. And we talk about this a fair amount of time, that affirmations and, you know, with manifesting stuff is basically claiming it and then manifesting it. So affirmations are the thing that you do, and manifestation is the thing that you get. And it works. It absolutely works. There's no question that it works. And it's just a little tiny, tiny piece of the equation. There's a reason that it works, and that's what New Thought is. The reason that it works is because there's a New Thought principle that underlies it. And as we talk about, it's not done as you say or as you affirm. It is done as you believe. So if we make a claim that's within our belief system, the law responds. The creative law responds, and it brings that into being. And that's what manifesting or affirmations are all about. And it works. But it only, and that's the 2 inches deep that you're talking about. If you're claiming something that you completely believe that you can have, then you can have it. But the real growth part happens when you claim something that for some reason you don't really believe that you can have. And then there's some work to be done. And that's where New Thought kicks in, and that's where all the rest of them stop. You sit there whining, well, God didn't want me to have it, or I didn't change my mind strongly enough, or I don't have the right willpower, or, you know, whatever self-blame is going to go on for, you know, not getting the experience that we say that we want to get.
I think it goes to me back to the idea of being a co-creator of your own reality. And when I first heard that, I thought, okay, that's a very poetic sounding phrase.
Yeah.
But, however, I think it's a really profound thing once you really take it apart. The universe has a part. I have a part. And if I don't do my part, it's not going to happen, right? So you could say, well, I don't do my part because I don't believe, and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes people don't even understand what their part is. That's where the affirmations kicked in for me. You can say all day and all night that you affirm that this is going to happen, but something happens in you that causes you to do your part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm telling you this because from the other side of the street in the traditional church, I know how to teach prayer, but I also know that we didn't teach people how to think and how to be, do their part in the preparation or the what makes you receptive, and not even the receptivity. It's like you can't pray and just go home and sit and wait. So you can't just give an affirmation and go home and sit and wait. By repeating the affirmation, to me, there's a layer in there that something triggers in me that I have a part in this. And the more I say it and visualize it and whatever, I gotta be energized or see my part in making this happen or co-creating, you know, and putting my energy, whatever you want to say. But you can't just say, this is it, and then it happens. And then if you believe something, you get in it. Do you know what I mean?
This is what we were talking about last week. The whole episode last week was about doubt. And if we, as you point out, if we go into the prayer doubting that it's going to happen, then what we're going to get is the doubt showing up in our life. It's because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen the way that we said that we wanted it to happen because we don't believe that it's going to unfold the way that we say we want. And that's the hidden and tricky part. And it's also the part where people get really wrapped around the axle and start saying, oh, well, it's my fault that I'm having the experience that I'm having. You know, and on the one hand, no. And on the other hand, yeah. We're responsible for our own lives. We did not install all of our beliefs. They are not a result of things that we necessarily went out and said, this is what I'm choosing to believe. There is a lot of stuff that is handed to us as children. It's handed us to societally. You know, there's cyclical poverty. You know, I grew up impoverished and I've never been able to get out of poverty. And you know, we can rail against the system, we can claim, I am prosperous. But as you know, the system is also rigged to keep people who are in poverty, you know, mm-hmm. the people who yeah. are paying exorbitant credit card rates are the ones who don't have any money to pay off their credit cards. The ones that are getting tagged bounced check fees are the ones who are skating right close to the edge on their checking account. The people who have plenty of money in the bank don't have to worry about those things. So it's not an issue, except at the very end of the scale. And then it's very real. And it reinforces the experience and reinforces the belief. I'll never get ahead. I'll always be poor.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're agreeing. I'm sure that we are. Because, mm-hmm. but there's something in there like you don't have all the information when you are at a certain economic level. You don't yep. have it. So you're paying your credit cards. And this is personal, you know, like eon, you know, a long time ago in another life. So I mean, in this life, I was, yeah, because I had to correct that because people talk about past lives. I'm talking about this one. Credit cards, I didn't know how they worked. I just thought I would have good credit if I paid on time. And I would pay on time and, you know, it wasn't working. I was paying on time. Long story short, I learned about the principal, paying against the principal, and that it comes down. So that made me structure my life a little bit differently because I had some information that I didn't have before. And paying a little bit more on the principal, all of a sudden, I wasn't in debt anymore after a while, you know, short yeah. while. So, but you need that information. I want to be out of debt. So I need to look, okay, I can affirm that I am debt-free. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be debt-free until I find out the information that will get me there. What do I have to do? It's my part in being debt-free, and I'll do that.
Precisely.
And then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what you're talking about, because there was a time in my life where I actually, I was actually unemployed at the time. And had a whole bunch of credit card debt and had been living on, you know, building up credit card debt for quite some time and had a house with a mortgage and all this other stuff. and I did a workshop with the debt-free guru. And the instructions were, okay, we're going to take a look at this in the full light of day. So bring in all your financials to the little workshop. So we did. And we went through all the numbers and he gave us a very simple technique. Here's how you do it. And it's not that this is the only way that you can do it. This is a way that he had found that worked. And, you know, it said, write down, you know, the one number is going to be, how much do you make a year? And of course, I currently wasn't working, but I wrote down the number that I intended to be making. And then worked out all the rest of the numbers with all of my credit card debt and the mortgage and the car payments and the expenses and all the rest of it. And there, right in front of me, is a plan for how to get completely out of debt for everything except the mortgage, which didn't really want to get out of debt on the mortgage. And all it required was to have a job making this much money. And I started working the program, and within weeks, I got a job. And when I was negotiating for the job, the guy says, how much do you want to make? And I gave him that number. He's like, oh. And I was actually applying. There were two of us. My partner and I were applying to be the sales team at this company. And the owner of the company says, that's kind of a lot. How about if we start out for the first 90 days at 80% of that, and then we'll bump you up? And I said, and my partner's ready to take it because he's out of work too. And because I'd been through this exercise, it's like, I said, do you want me to work at 80% capacity for the first 90 days? Do you want me to do like B or C level work? Or do you want me to come in and swing for the fences? He says, good point. Start at the full pay. And the whole rest of the program worked as well. So part of it was doing the preparation and doing the work and understanding what I'm going to be doing. So starting with the affirmation, I'm prosperous, I'm debt free, or, you know, living in this flow. Doing the work to understand what my part is going to be, And then when the invitation came along to either stand in my truth or let myself get negotiated down to 80%, it was really straightforward to say, no, this is what's going to happen. And that's the way it worked.
You know what? I like the idea. I think it's powerful. The words that you said, stand in my truth, mm-hmm. stand in what I believe, stand in what I want. It's, you know, recently I'm remodeling my whole office space and all that. And I needed a chair. So I ordered the chair and it was supposed to come the next day. And they said, you know, after I paid for it and got everything excited, you know, my chair's coming tomorrow. It didn't come. And I was thinking, I don't think it's coming because it's awfully late. I got a note saying it won't be here until, and it was 7 days later. And of course, I ordered it for overnight. Now it's going to be a week. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I was really bothered. And I thought, I should have just gone to Office Depot or whatever it is, Best Buy or something. I just got a chair. I'm not going to accept it when it comes. I'm going out tomorrow and I'm getting my chair. And I'm just going to, people bring it, I'm not going to accept it. Then I said, no, you're not. What you're going to do is calm yourself down and rearrange your space and do what you need to do because the chair will be here when it gets here. And I'm thinking, I can't wait
That's
another week.
Moment.
I got up the next day and I thought, my chair is coming today. And I kept saying that chair is coming today. There's no reason why it shouldn't come today. And the chair came that very day. So in terms of manifesting, yeah, I bought the chair and I paid for it. There was some stuff going on in between. How do I know when the chair was going to come? I just decided it's coming today. And I'm sitting in it. You know,
just as likely that that's going to happen as anything else.
You know, and it's just a bunch of other things are going on like that in my world right now. And I'm thinking, you know what? I will get upset and I'll go make do. I'll just get something and make do. And I looked around and I said, my whole life is created out of make do. It's not necessarily created out of the best that the universe can give me. How about trying to manifest the best? It's not over your head. It's you. And I'm mm-hmm. saying all that to say that we have to get in line with what we want, what we believe. Yes. I can have the best. I can also have make do if I want. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go to the secondhand store and get a chair and make do. Is that what I want?
Yeah, that's and you've nailed it. If you say, I can make do, the universe says, yes. If you say, I'm going to have a new wonderful chair and it's going to get here at the perfect time, the universe says, yes. And mm-hmm. if we believe that we're the sort of person who always has to make do, we say, I'm going to have a great chair, then you know what we wind up with. All sorts of sadness because we have to make do with another chair because the good one hasn't gotten here.
And it's a it's a make do chair. And what you said about standing in your truth, to me, it was, well, what is your truth? You know, mm-hmm. your truth has been you make do because you know how to do that. You know how to make, you know, there was a joke about my mom. You could give her a hammer and a nail, a hammer and one nail, and she could build a house. They used to do that. So I used to be like that. You know, I'm not going to sweat anything. I'll just make do. And then you look at it and say, well, I can, but I don't really want to. Can God, can universe spirit do better than make do? I guess so. You know?
Yeah.
I'm the one who's asking for less. So let me bump it up a bit. Let mm-hmm. me up the game.
And get out of your way and perhaps find out along the way that what you want and what you believe you deserve are different. Let's take a break and we're going to come back and froth some more. Is Reverend Bill letting you know that the Practical Prayer for Real Results class is now available on demand. That's right. You can take it at your own pace anytime you want. All of the information is at BeTheLight.com. That's B-The-Light.com. You know where to find that stuff. The class is 5 lessons, broken down into 18 modules, and you can take them at whatever pace is comfortable for you. As you work through the process, it starts out with the theory, goes into the practice, there are experiential activities and exercises, and at the end of the program, you will wind up with an understanding of how practical prayer works and a practical prayer for yourself that will work to create transformation in your life. And as you know, it works for everything. Take a look at the class online at BeTheLight.com. There's a sample lesson so you can see how the class is going to work for you and then dive in. The great news is it's on sale now. You can register and save $20 off of the regular price. I'm looking forward to seeing you in class.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchioni.
We are talking about an opinion piece in the New York Times about manifesting, and that was in quotes, manifesting, and then it went into great detail on New Thought and the history of New Thought, and then pointed out what's wrong with it. How, as Carol has described, it's 2 inches deep and a mile wide, and tried to catch New Thought in the same net as manifesting. And that's the part that I bristle at and froth about. and I'm going to lean out over the edge a little bit, and I'm going to say that there's no such thing as manifesting. There is no such thing as manifesting. What happens is we do a spiritual practice and come to a new place in our belief system, and the infinite creative power that creates everything responds to our new belief in the same way that it's responded to belief since the very beginning of time. And the manifestation is the infinite creating something different in our experience. We're not manifesting anything. Everything that exists is that one divine presence manifest in its own way as billions of planets and billions of people here on planet Earth, and all of the different elements and molecules and chemicals and processes and understandings and everything else. It is all the one shared in an individual way. That's what manifesting is. That's none of our business. That's what the divine does. All right, down off my soapbox.
Now, while you were talking, I'm listening, I'm saying, okay, all right, but now we got to come out of class and bring this down to real life. So don't take the word manifesting away from people. They got to have it. Because okay. Manifesting, for the most part, is just showing up, right? The thing just shows up.
Right.
But I get it. It's God showing up as in this way.
Right.
So, and
what was
and
it
I'm
that Jesus said? I of myself do nothing. It's the Father within who doeth the work. I'm not manifesting.
Sure.
The divine is manifesting. He said
it too. We're seeing it now. Manifest is just seeing. Because you can't take seeing away from people. They're waiting. You know, that, I mean, it may not be the best word, but it's the only word we have right now. But I get it. You know, it's the
it's
showing
up. It's a word that we
up.
Can have. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it's the one showing up. You know, let me have my show up. I know what I'm waiting to see. But I'm waiting to see God show up in this way. But then what happens in the meantime, it means that I have to be in agreement, not necessarily mentally, but totally in a lot of ways, so that, well, Emmett Fox calls it the mental equivalent. Mm-hmm. I have to be the God in me matches the God in what's showing up.
Right.
So,
So perhaps if instead of manifesting, we were aligning ourselves with a divine coincidence, that manifesting has an arm wrestling kind of flavor to it. Like I'm gonna struggle and work this problem and I'm going to manifest something. I'm going to make it happen myself. I'm going to muscle my way into this. And it doesn't work that way. It works by us getting into alignment with the truth of what it is that we're seeking and allowing the infinite to create that for us. And it shows up as a coincidence.
Okay. I mean, that's perfect, of course, because you're the teacher. You're going to get it right.
But, no pressure.
No, it is. But, you know, I have a job. My job is to make it simpler. So you talked about, so I have to get in alignment with spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And, but what does that mean? I understand what it means. That therein is the work. And it's not always hard. You know, it's just don't lose the idea or don't skip over the idea that I must get in alignment with such and such. I mean, my chair story is only a little piece of the story. It's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of other stuff coming. But if I don't get in alignment with my belief about what's going to happen, it ain't going to happen because mm-hmm. I'm going to make do and go get some junk.
And at the other end of the spectrum, you could wind up getting all that stuff and it's going to sit in boxes in the other room for 3 months while you figure out what it is that you're going to do next.
Well, I know what I'm going to do next after I finish getting pissed at all this stuff I have. But I'd have to do what you said. Anybody else that's in a situation, you know, you put your own particulars in there. It's what do I believe? You know, I would like to have, really like to have this. Is there any reason why I can't? Well, the first thing would be don't go out and make do, right? Leave the space empty because this is what you want. Mm-hmm. And I don't want some make do stuff in my space. I've always done make do. I want to try something different.
You have plenty of experience doing make do. You don't have to do it anymore.
Well, you know what? Sometimes people don't know that they don't have to do it anymore. But I cross the street and I'm thinking, okay, I know what make do is, all right? Now, if God is bigger than I thought, which God is, I'll leave the space empty mm-hmm. and get my head wrapped around the better. I'm not doing make do, right? And if it doesn't happen, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. Yeah.
And the process works. And, you know, for manifesting, we a lot of times we think of it as being things. You know, I manifested this car, and I manifested this job, and I manifested this relationship. And we're actually manifesting everything that happens every moment. You know, one of the founding teachers of the New Thought movement was Myrtle Fillmore. And she'd always been the sickly child. She was sick as a kid. She was sick as a young adult. She was ill. She was always ill. And she learned the New Thought teaching and the New Thought philosophy. And she realized that there's no sickness in God. And as a child of God, there was no need for sickness in her. She didn't deny that she'd been sick. She just said that this is not something that has to be part of her experience anymore. Mm-hmm. It can be part of her past. And she got healthy. I think she had back problems and maybe tuberculosis, and it all cleared up.
But from what you said and what I know, you know, she got in alignment with the truth of what is.
There is no illness in God.
Right. And that's the little piece. I don't have to have less unless mm-hmm. I want less, or I have less because that's what I've been dealing with. You know, sometimes I have made do, and there's nothing wrong with making do, by the way. Anybody who's listening, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, but you've done a great job of making do.
Make do, but then say, I'm going to do this, but only for a certain period of time, right? I'm not going to... I'll make do with this until I do that. I'm not cutting off anything that spirit may have for me. I'm just not going to chop it off because if spirit says yes, and I don't put a cap on it, then I'm going to be dealing with make do forever. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm. had an interesting experience. Have family in from out of town. They're staying in Center City, Philadelphia. So we drove in from the suburbs. So we go visit them. And my wife says, sort of driving through the city and the potholes and the people and the crowds and all the rest of it, because it was the last day of the Philadelphia Flower Show. She says, why would anybody want to live here? And my 30-something daughter in the back seat says, because they like being around things to do and people. It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Yeah. If you're not called to that, then don't live there. And if you're called to that in a particular part of your life, and then your needs and tastes and desires change, you can move. But it's thinking, I have to stay here, or I'm here and I can't get to where I want to be, so I have to stay out. When those are operative, then what we're going to be experiencing is either living in the right place at the right time, or not being able to live in the place we want to at the time.
It's like not living as though this is it. You know, there's a flow. The river always flows. It doesn't stop. It just keeps moving. And I lived in Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. I thought that the City Hall was the most beautiful piece of architecture I had ever seen. Well, that's because I hadn't seen anything else. And So I don't live in Philadelphia. I've been out of Philadelphia. And now when I go back, I kind of feel like your wife, you know, like, oh my God, did I actually live here? It was not quite the same 25 years ago. But still, I'm out. I'm in a different place, different age, obviously, and different things appeal to me now.
Right. So, and you didn't say what you're doing now is better. What you're doing now is appropriate for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we all get to create our experience. And there's, you know, so many different ways of teaching this. You know, there's a reason that Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors, because they don't have the one that you like and 30 duds, you know?
I think that's a way of flowing with life, you know, and you're looking and you say, okay, this is what people like, and Baskin-Robbins is a waste for me, you know, because it's only one ice cream, vanilla. That's just it. Everything mm-hmm. else is fake. So I don't need Baskin-Robbins. All I need is Breyers. But I mean, but Baskin-Robbins is cool. You know, it's a nice place to meet
right.
your girlfriend.
Baskin-Robbins, 30 unnecessary flavors.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
get out
you
of the
throw
way, I'm
in,
going to the vanilla.
Yeah, that's it. And if you have vanilla bean, okay, that's even better. But I can get Breyers easier. I don't have to stand in line.
All right. We're going to take another break. And when we return, we are going to actually do a practical prayer about manifesting.
Learn to put practical prayer to work in your life. The steps are simple to learn and let you begin to get real results to create the life of your dreams immediately. Reverend Bill Marcioni's widely acclaimed book, Practical Prayer for Real Results, gives you a clear summary of the new thought principles behind practical prayer and the series of easy-to-understand steps found in the most effective prayers from religions and spiritual practices all over the world and throughout history. Practical prayer is not a replacement for your religion or practice. It's a technique to make the work you do in consciousness even more effective. The book includes 40 prayers on various topics that you can adapt as needed and use as your own. Practical Prayer for Real Results is available in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook on Amazon or at b-the-light.com. That's b-the-light.com.
Welcome to the Practical Prayer Podcast. Welcome back. I'm Carol. He's Reverend here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marcioni.
We're talking today about manifesting and how it diminishes and belittles the the depth and tone and texture and flavor of the whole New Thought teaching and practical prayer. And curiously, that's what we're going to make the prayer about. Today's practical prayer is about manifesting. And manifesting, as is practiced in popular culture, is, you know, you do an affirmation and you manifest something, makes it seem like we're doing it. That it's the simple process of claiming something and having it show up in our lives. Like there's some infinite catalog out there that's ready to just give us whatever it is that we ask for. And it kind of works that way, but it doesn't really work that way. The podcast and the book and the topic is practical prayer for real results. And the real results we're talking about are what people describe as manifesting. And manifesting itself is 2 inches deep and 10 miles wide. There is so much more to it than that. And this prayer is to connect with the depth and the richness and the understanding of that creative process that we're involved in so that we can claim something that's bigger than we might have previously believed that we could experience in our life. And the difference there is that when we're doing manifesting and saying an affirmation and expecting something new to show up in our lives, it might work or it might not. And when we're ready to do the deep spiritual work and take it to the next level, then we can go beyond what we have previously believed is possible, what we've previously experienced, and have something completely new and wonderful come into our lives. To begin with, I get to take a deep, full breath and hold it. And without letting it go, take another deep breath. And you can't. Try another one. It's a third one without breathing out, and you can't. What do you have to do? You have to let go. Breathe out. And feel yourself become open and receptive and available to something new. That's a new thought. Now you can take in another deep breath and let yourself be filled again. And again, breathe out and release and let go of whatever has been so that there's the possibility of something new. And continue breathing however is comfortable for you as we turn our awareness to that infinite creative power that creates everything. We want to talk about manifesting. This is a 14 billion year process of everything in the universe coming into form in exactly the way that it is right now. That's manifesting. Is it possible for it to come into form in a slightly different way to give us a different experience of life? Yes, absolutely it is. And because it's a universe of infinite possibilities, the good that we're seeking is as possible as anything else. So as we let go of our attachment to things being the way that they have been, to doing things the way that we've been doing them, to having the limitations that have been limiting us in the past, as we open ourselves up to that newness, as we let it go, something new can come in. And perhaps that newness is the thing that we're looking for. Perhaps that newness is exactly what we wanted to have in our experience. And perhaps that newness is the awareness that we've been doing something, we've been believing something, we've been engaging in the world in a way that's bringing our previous experience in, and we get to do something different to begin with. Maybe there's something to let go of. Maybe there's someone to forgive. Maybe there is a different way of engaging in the circumstance that we've been having and to look at it from a different perspective. And since that's possible, that's what we mean by co-creating. We are doing our part, and that infinite creative power that creates everything is saying yes. It is completely supporting that which we are desiring to the greatest degree that we believe is possible. So as we turn away from the circumstances and situations that we've been having so far and turn our awareness to that infinite creative power that creates everything, as we understand that that power didn't just create everything out there, it created everything, including each of us. We are conscious, living, breathing expressions of the one, of that one creative power, of that divine creative process that creates everything. And as we move ourselves into alignment with that next experience, more and more and more of what we describe and understand and explain as good becomes available to us. And anything which is no longer serving us gets to fall away, as long as we are letting go of it. And the good continues to unfold, and the newness continues to express, and that infinite creative power that creates everything is manifesting as something new through and for and as and with us. And it's happening now for each of us in our own way. As we let go of what's no longer working and open to the newness, it fills our lives. sometimes with great transformation, huge changes in the way that we are participating with the world. And sometimes it just seems like it shows up on a silver platter. And it's all good. It's all good. And I'm grateful for the willingness of each one to engage in the process, to understand that there's still something to be done. It is not I, but the Father within who doeth the work. I'm so grateful for the good that's already coming about. And I'm grateful to speak this word and release it into that creative law, the one that creates everything, and to know it is now creating this. And so with a deep feeling of thanks, I speak this word, I let it go, and I know it's so. So it is.
The Practical Prayer Podcast with Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence is a production of BeTheLight.com.
Be-the-light.com.
Where you can find more information about practical prayer for real results.
Our theme is by Music of Wisdom. You can learn about the spiritual community of New Thought Philadelphia with daily guided meditations,
weekly celebrations of spirit,
and Reverend Bill's classes in practical spirituality
at newthoughtphilly.org.
This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.